news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Hopes for an imminent interest rate cut and a corresponding decline in borrowing costs are fading.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says persistently elevated inflation will likely delay any Fed interest rate cuts until later this year.
The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence.
The remarks at the Wilson Center in Washington are a shift for Powell, who on March 7th told the Senate committee that the Fed was, quote, not far from gaining the confidence it needed to cut rates. But at a news conference on March 20th, Powell appeared to downplay that assertion. I'm Shelley Adler.
Wednesday is a day off for the court handling the Trump criminal case in New York City. So far, seven jurors have been chosen for the upcoming trial, and Mr. Trump decries as a political witch hunt led by a Trump-hating judge.
We are going to continue our fight against this judge. We think he's totally conflicted. He's a conflicted judge. As you know, we're in appeal.
Opening arguments may be heard on Monday, depending on how jury selection goes. Ukraine's president says at least 11 people have been killed, 20 injured, in a Russian missile strike. The BBC's James Waterhouse says the missile hit an apartment building in northern Ukraine, and the death toll may rise.
Rescuers are trying to reach people trapped under the rubble. The strike came hours after reports of a Ukrainian attack on a Russian airbase in occupied Crimea.
Four people shot, one killed by gunmen on scooters. They opened fire on a street corner in the Bronx, New York City. Police now investigating a motive and possible gang-related activity. On Wall Street, ahead of this morning's opening bell, the Dow futures are 20 points higher. NASDAQ futures up 51 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The words you are about to hear are taken from letters sent in by members of the Trinity Debt Management Program.
Dear Trinity, today I'm making my final credit card payment.
Before I came to you, I was in a constant state of anxiety and panic, but now there is hope for my family's financial future.
Working with Trinity made me understand that I'm not alone.
You really do help people.
Your kindness will never be forgotten.
Without Trinity's support, I would not have achieved my lifelong goal of becoming debt-free.
We saved a lot on interest and penalties, of course, but the reward was the gift of human kindness.
Trinity has carried me through a very difficult time in my life. You're amazing.
I used to feel so anxious and hopeless. Now I feel grace and peace.
God bless Trinity as you continue to help others become debt-free.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
This KMCQ News Flash powered by Best Mattress. They don't sell mattresses, they sell a better tomorrow. Buying a home in Las Vegas, it's getting tougher. Mortgage payments here in Las Vegas going up almost 50% over the past couple of years. A construction coverage study reports that since 2022, the average mortgage rate here in the U.S. has gone up from 3.8% to 6.8%. Now, the study says that when you combine that with Southern Nevada's median home price, monthly mortgage payments have jumped up more than 47% in just 2 years. Back in 2022, the average Las Vegas home buyer paid $1,461 a month for a single-family home. This past March, that payment is now $2,151. Mortgage interest rates are now the highest they have been since 2002. Sidewalk street vendors can now operate in certain parts of Clark County, but with new restrictions that might not make them too happy. County commissioners are approving new licensing requirements and regulations for those food vendors. The new ordinance requires the sidewalk vendors to get a license, pay a yearly fee of $150, have a permit with the health department, as well as insurance. The new law restricts where vendors can set up and prohibits them from working between 9 at night and 8 in the morning. Violators could face up to fines of $500 for each and every violation. The ordinance actually brings Clark County in compliance with state law. Changes coming to a boutique luxury hotel on the Las Vegas Strip, Nomad Las Vegas, which is actually the top four floors of Park MGM. It'll be rebranded in the coming months. Hotel giant Hilton recently bought a controlling interest in the company that owns the Nomad brand, and it says it plans to expand it except for Las Vegas. That's going away. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Woo! Riley Chevrolet is Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealership. Again, buy new roads.
F-I-N-D-L-A-Y. Finley Chevy is a place to buy. Home of the...
Flu season is here. You and your family need to boost your superpowers. Get vaccinated. And remember, you can vaccinate your family from 6 months of age at your nearest health center, pharmacy, vaccine clinic, or certain community centers. Remember that flu can especially affect over 65-year-olds, adults with certain chronic diseases, pregnant women, and children under five. Keep them super immune. Check with your health care provider or go to immunizenevada.org. With health, there is life.
This message is sponsored by Immunize Nevada, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, you can get an oil change for only $39.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Looking pretty good to start this Wednesday morning commute off. No accidents being reported on the freeways, though. On the resort corridor on the northbound side of I-15 approaching Sahara, watch for Nevada State Police. Have a disabled vehicle off to the side there. Northbound 15 again before Sahara. Northwest injury accident on the service streets, intersection of Cheyenne and Jones. It is warming up by the day. We're expecting to see afternoon temperatures hover right around the 90-degree mark under clear sunny skies and light breezes. 61 degrees right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic, brought to you by Meineke Car Care Centers on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to foot.
Check it out!
And Joan, Shengang, I'm going to pronounce her, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots, in all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Wednesday, April 17th. Good to have you with us. It's hump day, and a good day to have my good friend Sam Peters on. He is the U.S. Air Force Major, Bronze Star recipient, and a former nominee for Congress. He was a candidate for Congress. CD4. He knows CD4 like the back of his hand, and he joins us now. Sam, how you been, my friend?
Kevin Wall, my friend. I've been well, sir. How about you?
Really, really good. Tumultuous times in our nation's capital and in New York. We've got the Trump trial that's going on. They've got seven jurors already picked. They need another five plus alternates. We'll talk about that in due time. I'm just curious. This doesn't seem to be hurting Donald J. Trump. This idea of being on trial in a criminal deal. What do you make of what we've seen so far?
Well, it's obviously the continuation of the years long, multiple year long witch hunt. In my opinion, this Alvin Bragg, brought these charges last year. Has been compiling his case, and now Donald Trump's facing 34 felony counts, which on their own under New York law are all misdemeanors. But if you, according to the law, and I'm not an attorney, but in the research that I've done, if the offenses are used to cover up other crimes, then they rise to the occasion of being felonies, which is what they're claiming. He's facing 4 years per offense, $5,000 fine per. It's sad. And the offenses they're calling it the hush money trial, but the money that they're referring to, hush money in this case, is not a crime. They're referring to, him accounting for the money spent in a miscategorizing it. In his accounting journal, basically, which, you know, his defense attorneys are saying that, you know, when he pays his personal attorney from his personal bank account, there's no crime that occurs, which, you know, seems to be the crux of it on their side. So, you know, we're going to see what this thing looks like. It's sad that we've got the former president of the United States forced to sit in the courtroom for this trial. But that's the law, and this is the process. It's going to give us a refreshing look, sadly, you know, as backwards as that all sounds, a refreshing look on what the justice system and process looks like, and give us an opportunity to have an idea of what it's supposed to look like and what our thoughts are as Americans on where it should go. So I'm everybody's watching it. I'm watching it as well. Obviously, it's interesting to see the jury selection process unfold. The number of jurors that have been dismissed, now some of them going on prime time to tell their stories. It's all a little bit Hollywood and obviously very interesting. And you know, to your original question, the effect it has on Donald Trump and his campaign. Every time the Democrats think they're doing something negative to Donald Trump, he turns it into a positive, and it's absolutely fascinating. So we're going to continue seeing where this goes.
Juan Merchan is the judge involved. He has slapped a gag order on Donald J. Trump. If there ever was any defendant that didn't need a gag order, it would be Donald J. Trump. I mean, Donald J. Trump is not just tiptoeing towards the line; he is jumping across the line. Do you think he'll end up in jail? Do you think he'll end up fined $3,000?
I think at some point he will probably be held in contempt of court. And it's not, in my opinion, that he will be in contempt of court. I think there is a very distinct power struggle going on right now in that courtroom between the judge and the former president of the United States. Look, you have the chief executive. There's, you know, 46 presidents in the history of our country. One of them is sitting in front of you, and you're the guy that's in charge of this courtroom. He's probably in a spot where he has to make sure that he holds control of that court. Controlling Donald Trump is not an easy task. And look, Donald Trump has rights under the Constitution. He has a First Amendment right. A gag order on a former president. Now he's forced to sit in this courtroom and listen to these things. I think whether he's in contempt actually or not, I think this judge will exercise his rights as the judge and the ruler of that courtroom. I think he'll wield them with plenty of force.
Again, Sam Peters joining us, a U.S. Air Force major, retired. He's a Bronze Star recipient, a former Republican nominee for Congress in CD4. A lot going on outside of the Trump trial. We're still asking the question, Mike Johnson, is he going to keep his job as Speaker of the House of Representatives? Mm-hmm. You aspired to be in that august body known as the House of Representatives. More chaos. Is Mike Johnson going to survive this?
I think he will. I don't think he's going anywhere. And it would be, frankly, at this point, look, I'm of mind with those who are upset with Mike Johnson. That, you know, he's promised some things that he maybe hasn't delivered. You know, he was backing off for a bit there of the Mayorkas impeachment and not pushing it forward. Now that it has been pushed forward, so they're exerting some pressure on him. But I'm gonna break from those Freedom Caucus folks for just a moment and you know, encourage them. I would encourage them to tone it down just a touch, only because our Republican majority has been, at the end of the last election, it was not where it was supposed to be to begin with. I think we had a five-vote majority, and it's been decreased. Now we've got Ken Buck resigning. We've got Kevin McCarthy, of course, was ousted, and he's resigned. This majority that we have, it has got to last us until at least November, January of this coming election cycle, where we have to build on that. So I would tell the Freedom Caucus folks, look, be strong, hold the line, and keep pushing him Speaker Johnson to do what he's supposed to be doing and what he's promised to do. But, you know, putting that vote on the floor to oust him like they did McCarthy is a bad idea. Forcing folks to resign or pushing them in that direction at this point is not a good idea either. We've got, you know, 6 months, 10 months until, or 8 months, sorry, until our until the new year and the new Congress is seated, and hopefully our majority will grow after this election cycle. But I think Mike Johnson is going to keep his job. And I hope the other Republicans can start to rally around him for the remainder of this year.
Right now, they're talking about funding for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, maybe for our southern border. All are very worthy projects. My question is, why is it so damn difficult to get this stuff through the House of Representatives and through the United States Senate and onto the president's desk?
It's interesting the way you asked that question, Kevin, and it's unfortunate that that's the mindset of so many that you listed them in the way you did, and no fault of your own. It's just, you know, how you list them, but that's become standard. We talk about Taiwan. We talk about Ukraine. We talk about these other
Israel.
Foreign places, and then we list the southern border. I would push back on you a little bit. I do not think the Ukraine funding is a valid or worthy request at all. I think that needs to stop, full stop, immediately. There's nothing good that comes out of that for the United States and the taxpayers of our country. I think that to your point of valid funding and good funding, the southern border needs to be, you know, top of list, top of mind. And, you know, this is why we're impeaching or trying to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, because he hasn't done his job, and millions of illegals have come over our border and are committing crimes. And there's, you know, last week there was Ray, FBI Chairman Ray was telling us how much of a threat we are under in our own country. And that needs to be, I think, top of mind and top of the biggest purpose of our funding in the United States Congress needs to be that, and the protecting of our own country. So these are all important things to look at. I think the priority of the Congress needs to be redirected in quite a big way.
Again, Sam Peters joining us from Aiken, South Carolina. I've got to ask you, because this is critical. Should these bills, which are now separate, Ukraine, Israel, Indo-Pacific, southern border, should they be separate, or should we just glop them all together and pass them as one?
Yeah, no, I think the significance of each and the intricacies of each. I mean, there's such big backstories and so much accountability of the funds that needs to happen. I think they all need to be separate funding bills, and they need to have, you know, unfortunately, our U.S. House is not, the history of our House doesn't tend to lend itself to this principle, but the principle of allowing folks to actually read the bills before they vote on them needs to be held as well. I mean, I think there's a rule right now, which is one of the reasons McCarthy got ousted, that bills were not being allowed to be read, the rule of, you know, allowing 72 hours for the folks to read these bills. And these bills are thousands of pages long. 72 hours is usually not long enough, but it's a start. I think that needs to be part of these. And again, to your question, they need to be individually written bills and individually voted on bills, not globbed together. And I think that's part of the problems that we've been seeing for decades now. All of these omnibus bills that just glob everything together. Nobody knows where the money's going. Nobody can account for it and put in place, you know, the checks and balances that the American people deserve to keep track of where their tax dollars are going. So
there is a spirited race going on in CD4. Who will replace Stephen Horsford? You've tried a couple of times to make this run, and I've got to ask you, why is it that Stephen Horsford needs to be replaced? Can you make the case? You know, I keep telling people, I know there's a spirited race going on in the primary on the Republican side, but we got to keep our eye on the prize, and the prize is Stephen Horsford. Why does he need to go?
So I look at, I'm in South Carolina now, but I still follow the news in Nevada and Las Vegas. And every day, multiple times a day, I get news alerts from various news outlets across Las Vegas. And I get news alerts of home invasion in Henderson, murder in Las Vegas, and on and on and on and on and on. Lots of them have to do with legal immigrants. Lots of it has to do with human trafficking. Lots of it has to do with narcotics and drugs, much of which stems from the southern border. Stephen Horsford has voted with President Biden and is a supporter of Secretary Mayorkas, and by default, the influx of 8 million illegal immigrants that we're aware of across our southern border, millions and millions of tablets of fentanyl, which have created thousands of deaths across the country, to include within southern Nevada, which is part of Horsford's district. If he is supporting that type of activity, there is no place for him in the U.S. House of Representatives. I have said it for a number of years during my campaigns that if an elected official in the United States of America cannot claim to be America first, they don't need to be holding office. If they are supporting a foreign country above their own, they're in violation of their oath of office in the Constitution of the United States, and they need to go. Stephen Horsford is one of those people. He needs to go in a very big way. And it is not about Trump. It is not about, you know, MAGA Americans. It is not about any of that. It is about protecting Americans, protecting Nevadans, taking our country back, and continuing to have a country that is the best country in the world, creates the most opportunity. People say that people that are born in the United States, we've won the lottery just by birthright. And I tend to agree with them for now. If we continue to keep people like Stephen Horsford in office, that is not going to be the case. And it's a sad, sad reality. So, look, you got a couple of candidates out there. Dave Flippo, former lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. You've got the former mayor of North Las Vegas, John Lee. Both of these guys are fantastic. Love them both. I'm good friends with both of them. And I think it's a tough choice to be made. But however Nevadans vote in that election for one of those two candidates in the Republican primary, once the winner is declared in that primary, either one of those folks will be an incredible, incredible congressman and a very valid replacement for Mr. Horsford.
Have you endorsed? And if not, will you endorse?
Look, I've been a while ago before John Lee got in the race. I endorsed Dave Flippo. Dave's a great guy. Again, former Air Force guy like myself. He's deployed. He's a business owner. He's got his head on the shoulders in a good way. Look, I'll come out right now and I'll throw my hat behind John Lee as well. If he pulls it off, John Lee and I have been friends for a long time. In fact, he was one of the first people that I went to see when I ran for Congress in 2020 and 2019 timeframe. While he was the mayor of North Las Vegas, he and his family supported my campaign, and I will absolutely support his. He's a great guy, and he's as conservative as any. So I'd like to see either one of them win, obviously, and I'll back either one of them when the time comes.
Okay, in our final couple of minutes, how's the book selling right now? I absolutely love this idea, and every time we have you on, I'm going to ask you about the book.
I appreciate that, and Melissa appreciates it as well. So the question about the book, Melissa, my wife, MelissaJPeters.com, she wrote a book, I Gave Up My Husband for Lent. I am not that husband that she gave up, but the book is doing well, and I appreciate it so much, you asking. She's doing, shows around the local area, the regional area, She did one an art walk show a couple of weeks ago. Had great response to the book. Sold a number of books. She's you have these things go. If you're not on the short list of publishers that are pushing your book nationally, which is a tough list to get on. You have to do the groundwork to get on that list. So that's where we're at right now. She's doing all the groundwork, doing the things that she needs to do to get the book out there and keep the buzz alive. And it's working. She's doing a great job, and I'm super proud of her for that. So
give her,
again, it's MelissaJPeters.com, and it's I Gave Up My Husband for Lunch.
Give her my very, very best. Sam, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, my friend. You coming back to Vegas anytime soon?
I hope to. I'm looking at the events going on out there. Congratulations to the Las Vegas Golden Knights getting into the playoffs once again. My son is in Little League right now, pitching for the his Little League team is the Athletics. So it's a little apropos that that's happening. But look, I'm trying to get around as much as I can. I want to do a shout out real quick if I could, Kevin. I was in Florida over the weekend spending time with my former Air Force mates down at the Air Force Special Operations Command. They had a great event. And I read something when I came back, and I was a little sad when I read it, that there's some thoughts out there that our military is gone and our military is not protecting us. I can tell you unequivocally, the folks of the Air Force Special Operations Command that I was with over the weekend are a group of professionals that have our safety and the protection of this country at absolute top of mind, and they are trained professionals in doing so. And I was proud to be with them as they celebrated their airmen and officers and airmen of the year for 2023. It was a great weekend. Just for people to know, the U.S. military is working hard to do what they do for us. So keep them in their thoughts and prayers along the way.
24/7, man, 24/7. Sam Peters, always good to visit with you. Thank you so much, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, sir. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
There you go, Sam Peters, former Republican nominee for Congress in CD4. He knows that CD4 race probably better than anybody. He's done it twice. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Debunking both liberal and conservative rhetoric. Dan Bongino, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
This segment of the Long Life Era is powered by Best Mattress. They don't sell mattresses, they sell a better tomorrow. Marla Letitia is the founder of Long Life Era Community Facebook Group. We also call her Nanny Bubby on Instagram and Facebook. You too can embrace the mindset at longlifemindset.com. Starting off with a compliment here. You put out a lot of great fact-finding questions for the community, and members have really taken to it. What was last weekend's question?
What one adventure must you have in the next decade to satisfy your heart? Now, that was worded very carefully, because in the long life era, we don't talk about bucket list. We don't talk about, well, if you died tomorrow, because the truth is that we have recognized that when living in your long life era, you could have up to 30 years if you live past 100, and many people are. One of the top things was go to Alaska to view the aurora borealis. That is just like, it's almost like an eclipse itself, because it's rare. Even if you go during that time of year to see it, sometimes the cloud cover or whatever is so thick that you don't get to see it when you're there. There was also travel. So a lot of people especially wanted to go to where their heritage was. And one member in particularly, his grandparents were born in Sicily, and he had been scheduled to go right before COVID shut down, and it's not gotten back, and life has been complicated for him. I could tell that he feels like it may not ever happen, and right now the group is rallying to get him to make it happen. And that's the kind of support that we get in the Long Life Era community. So I wish everyone, and hope everyone listening, will join.
A lot of people embracing the Long Life Mindset, and you can do it at longlifemindset.com.
Hi, my name is Amanda Sandoval, and this is my 5-year-old daughter, Mariana.
Today, Mariana enjoys school, but it wasn't always that way. She was born with a disorder, and when she started at her local public school, there was little hope that she'd be able to succeed. Fortunately, her parents were able to choose a different school that offered her exactly what she needed to thrive.
For any family, the most powerful thing is having choice. You're putting your kids in a program that's going to turn them into adults, and you want your kids to be